3, 2. All right. Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football Podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm currently in awe of the Herculean effort and devotion you're putting on display to this podcast and to our fantasy football league on this evening, sir. So I'm really happy to hear your voice and really happy you're there. And I just want all of our listeners to really just take a moment to appreciate the circumstances with which you're coming to us this evening.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I definitely have, I can't say that I'm like, you know, fully here mentally. I wish I could. This coffee is keeping me present physically, and I will do my absolute best mentally, but combined a full travel day, jet lag, and being awake for just over 23 hours now, I am definitely bushed.
Well, and I mean, it's not just that, because then tomorrow you're going to wake up and realize that you have a podcast recorded that you'll want to produce and,
right,
and post, and before you leave again to travel internationally again tomorrow. You know, for me, when we podcast, I just sit in my chair and I talk for a little bit and then
sure,
I'm done. It's actual work for you. There's an actual effort that goes into it.
Well, you know, I say it nearly every week. It's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. And I mean, that means something.
Heavy is the head. That wears that crown. But I am looking forward to this podcast because I am I'm a little bit excited about your mental state and the nuggets that, you know, we should go for a no edits version of the podcast.
Well, we'll
just whatever falls out of your mouth, we're just gonna roll with it.
That's you
put a little extra mustard on the intro already, which I really enjoyed. So
that's all I got, though. That's all I have.
Oh man, you used all on the first inning. Gotta save some for the ninth.
Hey, speaking of, let's give a nod to the MLB real quick.
Yeah, that was fantastic series.
Yep. That's good baseball right there. If only the NFL could, you know, be decent this season.
Yeah. Do you have a take on the, I don't know if you saw that report, but apparently NFL ratings are down this year.
Oh, yeah. I read an article. I posted it in our group. It made a lot of sense. I'm not sure if it was very empirically backed, but it makes sense to me that the amount of penalties and the timeouts for them has just skyrocketed. If you look at the research in the past 3 years, the flag throwing and the times to evaluate have just skyrocketed. And the argument basically was, I think the guy's thesis was, there's less time playing football. And so there's a lot more commercials, a lot more just cutting to the booth and listening to guys talk about why that flag should or shouldn't have been thrown. And so it's taken the drama and the sport out of the game. And that's causing ratings to go down.
Yeah, I think it's that. And I think it's also, there just haven't been a whole lot of, there aren't a whole lot of entertaining teams to watch. I heard someone mention this on the podcast, on a different podcast last week or this week. And I thought it kind of made sense. Like, what team out there do you really, you know, you set your TV, you know, you want to watch that team.
Sure.
There isn't really a team like that. Maybe the Patriots, but I think a lot of people are tired of the Patriots being good at this point.
Yeah.
And then also the primetime games have all been terrible. The only interesting primetime game, there's been two, I guess, recently, and that was a snoozer between Seattle and Arizona that went to overtime, where it was, you know, 6-6, ended in a tie, and you know that's just not satisfactory for anybody. And then the Cowboys and Eagles game last week, that one was good, but you know that's like the first primetime game that was actually entertaining. Yeah. And I mean, it's not a fair comparison, but when you hold up that Game 7 of the World Series against the primetime football games that have been running out there each week, and it's just, I mean, you know, there's no comparison. So
yeah, one of the, I mean, if any team is is close, at least in our realm or region. The Cowboys are definitely worth watching, in that there's a really, I mean, if you're a fair weather fan, this is your season. But
But they're not really exciting to watch.
no, they're just producing, that's all.
They're winning, and
Yeah.
good for them for winning. But it's not like the casual fans and be like, oh yeah, I can't wait
Good
for them
football,
to
right?
control the ball for so much of the game and play keep away and just, run the football. And I mean, and it's like the Vikings are the, another really good team, and it's like, oh, I can't wait to watch super good defense. It's just not exciting.
Yeah.
People want the greatest show on turf. They want the St. Louis Rams. They want the Peyton Manning Broncos and Colts and those sorts of offenses. I think that's what really attracts viewers. And
Yeah, well, that's the other argument that this guy made, is that the type of penalties that they are calling are keeping that excitement out of the game. So it is what it is. One of the other things going against the NFL is just the fantasy football culture, in that fan allegiance goes to players instead of teams, and so actual team watch ratings are gonna sink if there aren't big performances, and performances have lagged, and so it's all this web of variables and culture intertwined, because you and I are among what is becoming the majority of football watchers that say, I don't follow teams, I follow players. And that's why, we've discussed the popularity of NFL Red Zone and how that is indicative of the fandom for players over teams. The whole family team allegiance, where you have, your back den or your basement or your TV media room just completely cast with a certain team's memorabilia and signed uniforms and wallpaper and beer cans and whatever. Those days feel like they're coming to a middle with fantasy football. And also, it's affecting college ball and high school ball, because of the motivation. I was reading this article, the motivation for these players going into college coaches are saying they're having to fight against this arrogance, because in NCAA, and it's all about team, and these coaches are pushing, you live and die by team, you win and lose by the team. And these guys are going, no, I'm looking to be the superstar. And that's affecting NFL players, because they are looking to become, you can get endorsements, you can get better deals when there's a bigger hype around you. It's affecting contracts, even, that fantasy football has had such an impact on the economy and the culture of football at large. It's crazy.
I mean, I think the generation of millennials is starting to make an impact in many areas of commerce, and I think it's starting to hit the NFL too,
Yeah.
and NFL is not keeping up with it so far. So,
Anyway, this is probably the most we've ever talked about something that's not about our league in specific. So everybody
and
who's listening for our league is like, well, this is boring as heck. So
we didn't plan to talk about it. So if you just want to wipe it all out,
we might have to. I don't know.
totally.
My fellow producer told me that this was going to be a cut-free episode because of my current condition. So we'll see how that goes.
My bad. All right. So turning our attention back to our lead and specifically looking at what was in week eight, you and I both lost, unfortunately. We really we let down the squish factor last week. We had a chance
Yeah.
to come through for it. We did not. Losing to you lost to Ben, I lost to Jared. They already had winning records, and so they move on, forward upward the standings. But Brent and Andy struck a victory for the Squish Factor, which we always like to see. And Brian and Derek also could not carry the torch for the Squish Factor. So we had two Squish Factor wins last week, which is still a pretty good week. We ended up with, I think, three teams at 4-4, with I forget. I think Brent might be in the lead for the he has the tiebreaker for the playoff position right now, sitting at 4-4. And so that's where the cutoff mark is for playoffs right now. And then we've got three teams at 3-5, or sorry, two teams. Andy and I are at 3-5 coming into this week. So we're within striking distance of making the playoffs, but obviously not in the picture. Really, it's competition between five teams for that last spot
Yeah.
as we head into week nine here.
Yeah, and as I look at that, I'm of course very humbled to even be still in the running, considering I have fewer points for than Brian, who is 1-7.
Yeah, you don't you're only 4 points, but but yeah, you're still riding out some of that early season fortune. You had a better week last week.
Yeah, a W would have been
Definitely
nice. That was
what you had been running.
a poor decision on start sit, and that would have made a big difference for where I'd be feeling out this week. But I'm not discouraged to the point where I think I'm out of it. In fact, this week's matchup, I dare say, looks competitive, and we'll see.
Those start sit decisions have they've hurt me a lot this year. They've hurt you a lot this year. Which actually, one thing I did want to do today was talk about the kind of the offline statistics that
That's right.
we track for our league, because ESPN still I shook my head laughing at it again this week of just as I was making waiver wire ads, and I was just thinking, this is such an ancient process, the way we have to go through and do this, one by one, player by player. It's just so manual. Their site is so outdated, but still, that remains, and the statistics stink. And I always want more data. I always want more stats. So I do it on my own. And so one thing, so I just want to go through and talk about some of the winners and losers in our league and some of those stats. So one of those would be the ideal versus your actual score on the season. So how many points did you leave on the bench if you could have put your ideal lineup in there? And the winner, or in this case, the loser with the most points left on the bench, is Brent so far this season, which surprises me a little bit. He has 163 points left on his bench. I'm next with 156, then Andy with 155. So we're all kind of grouped together there at the top. You're sitting in the sixth highest total at 120, which I kind of expected you to be higher, but I think it's just that you've had a
The
couple of
last
bad,
couple weeks, sure.
a couple bad weeks recently.
Right.
So.
Well, it's indicative that my bench has been just a poor scoring bench as well the first few weeks.
Yeah, I think
So.
and I think what maybe even a bigger factor here is like the percent of your actual points scored, like what percent of your actual points scored did you leave on the bench, in which case you and Andy would jump to the top of the board.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so and then the fewest points left on the bench, Michael has only left 84 points on his bench so far this year, and Brock is at 85.
Well done, Michael.
Yeah, well
Very,
done, Michael.
very well
Well
done.
done. We always can question that a little bit as far as is that a good management or is that a just a shallow team that doesn't have any depth where you never have to worry about leaving points on your bench because you don't have any good players on your bench. But still, it's obviously better to Michael and Brock are both playoff teams, so
Sure.
good for them for getting the most out of teams that they
Yeah.
can.
And for listeners who may be newer to our league and podcast this year, I'll tell you that Peter and I, Peter more so, are definitely data heads. We enjoy statistics. We also really enjoy Excel and the power that it has over the world and or can anyway in the right hands. And Peter is an Excel master. I am an Excel Padawan, but the IVA is an example of the kind of stats that in ESPN's inability to innovate, we found that by creating our own, we're able to throw in these new numerics that we get to discuss and talk about. Now, the validity of these numerics is still a work in progress, and so we still tinker with these things and try to figure out to what degree do they actually speak towards the quality of a manager in our league, but they are still a lot of fun. And Pete, as you were describing that one, it made me think, I wonder if there is a variable that we could attach to the IVA that does compare to the overall rating of a bench or a team. And that way we get not only an IVA, but we get some sort of quality measure
Yeah.
to dissect what you just described as the potential hole in the IVA measure.
That's a good point. If you had total points scored by the bench, as well, that would that would be of interest and not just points left on the bench.
Right. And that
Yeah.
way, and then you factor in that percentage and you come away with another number, you know, on top of the IVA that gives us a basically a qualifier for how weighted is that IVA for a manager. I think that would be interesting to look at. That's your homework this week.
That one would actually not be that hard to do because ESPN actually does tell you your total bench points. It doesn't tell you your ideal lineup score, which is just would be really easy for them to do automatically as opposed to
Do
me
you
having
know
to.
of any league that does or
Yeah,
any?
I believe NFL.com leads.
When did they start?
I don't know. I think Brent told me about it a year or two ago.
So after we created the stat, they started it?
Right.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, exactly. We're at the cutting edge.
Did we throw our little TM on that too? Because if they,
Should
I swear, if they start talking about squish factor, I'm gonna, oh, I'm gonna just freak out.
All right.
Got any other back pocket stats for us tonight?
Yeah, so I was just gonna go positionally real quick, and then what I'll do is for those in the lead, I'm gonna post the link to this spreadsheet. It's in a Google Doc, so you can go look at it, and then you can kind of see where you sit for all these things. But I'll just do real quick the number one and number 12 teams by position. So quarterback scoring, Chris, unsurprisingly for those who know his team, sits at number one as he was able to go from Matt Ryan as the number one quarterback all year for 4 weeks until Tom Brady returned from his suspension to be the number one quarterback since he got back. Chris is just crushing quarterbacks. He has 234 points on the season, which is 39 higher than the next place. Scott sits at the low end of the spectrum with just 107 points from his quarterback this year. So through eight games, that's like 13 points a game for Scott from his quarterbacks. And yet Scott has a really good team.
And
So
yet,
yeah, something doesn't compute there.
no.
All right, then we go to running backs. And this is where Scott shines
About to
with
say, I'm gonna go ahead and
377
call Scott on the
points.
top of
Scott sits at 377 points, which is 41 points more than the next closest one. Obviously, he has David Johnson and Melvin Gordon, which are big factors there. Brent sits at the low end of with running back points, which, of course, those who listen to Brent at all know that it's because his running backs keep getting hurt in the middle of games, which is apparently something that only happens to
I think it's a
him.
more powerful curse than our podcast. If Brent drafts a running back, that running back should be afraid for his life.
Wide receiver scoring, Chris again is number one. So somehow we wonder why Chris isn't the number one team in our league. Which I believe this week I saw Fantasy Pros actually thinks that Chris is the number one team in our league, based on the strength of his team. So there's a bullseye and podcast curse all at once on Chris. But he's number one in wide receiver scoring, with 474 points from his wide receivers. So he's crushing the quarterbacks and wide receivers. And well, Andy is.
You'd think in a PPR league that would be enough to win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I just played Chris recently. I didn't like it. Or I'm going to play him as soon. I don't. Whatever. I don't want to play Chris right now. So that's the short story there. Andy's number 12 in wide receiver scoring. So far this year, but he's gonna turn that around.
Needs a
He's
few more trade tunnel or tunnel trades.
For tight end scoring on the year, not surprisingly, Brent leads here. He's been playing two tight ends a lot, so it's kind of cheating the system.
About to say, I think I've done well in that position. Where am I sitting on that one? Okay,
You
moving on.
are. Scott is sitting last in tight ends. So Scott is just killing it with his running backs and wide receivers, and that's why he's a good team. And actually, we'll see that he is also killing it with his defense because he leads there as well, which is the next category. Scott has 86 points from his defense. And then Jared is in last with 27 points all year, so 3 points a game from his defense. And Chris also is down there with 28 points scored from his defense. So I think Jared's been streaming his defenses, just kind of changing them out each week, and has not been finding success there. So that is hurt.
Yeah, that goes back to our NFL discussion overall. I mean, I love streaming DST, but if you don't have good matchups and good NFL, like, that's a tough thing to do.
And then for kicker, Michael is leading with points scored by his kicker. I'm not even sure who his kicker is. I doubt he's been changing him out that much. But he is number one in kickers points. And Ben is last in kicker points with 38 points on the season. So that's just under 5 points per game from his kicker, which is, that's like one field goal made and one extra point made per game. And so that's pretty bad from Ben's kickers. So if he did figure that position out, I think he'd have an even stronger team. So that's a quick rundown of winners and losers by positional scoring, which I always think is interesting. I think it kind of shows where team strengths are and that sort of thing. Something I like to look at for myself to think about trade targets. Where do I need to make my team stronger? If I'm, going to trade with someone, what do they need? Where are they weak in scoring and that sort of thing. So I always find that one to be interesting. So again, I'll post this the link to this so everyone can go look at it.
Yep, sounds good. Well, so it's not quite anybody's race anymore. There have been some eliminations in terms of the March as we crossed over the midpoint of the season, but now we're looking at a pretty competitive walk to the playoffs between our rankings. Obviously, there's a few teams sitting closer to the finish line than the rest, and some of those teams have more favorable schedules than others. And so a lot of it's going to come down to who you play when. In fact, I would say nearly all of it will come down to who you play when. Whether or not you get almost a free W or a really tough W or just a big loss. So.
Yeah, and I think, like we talked to Scott last week, and his schedule is looking pretty good the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And we're back to divisional games, basically the rest of the way. And I think what we're seeing is that anyone in the incumbents division is not liking the way their schedule looks for the rest of the season. Anyone in the Challengers division probably has a little bit of an easier path.
You know what that's going to help? Squish factor.
This factor, that's right. Yeah, no, I think that is true. When we did outside the division game, I think the standings spread out a little bit, and then when we get back to the in-division games, I think they definitely
Tighten
shrink
up.
back. Yeah, I think that's the way it's fallen out. It's interesting. I felt like the Challengers showed real strong early in the year, but right now I feel like Scott's carrying the torch there for the Challengers division, and we don't really have another really strong team coming out of it right now. Jared's there, Michael's there. I wouldn't say they are. Their teams aren't really forces; they're contenders. But I think the forces all sit in the incumbents division with Brock, Ben, and Chris right now.
Yeah, that's right. You are correct, sir. I mean, Scott is a force. Let's be clear.
Oh
Like,
yeah, no, I'm not discounting Scott at all. But for Scott getting to play the rest of the challengers right now, it doesn't look so scary.
Sure.
But yeah, Scott is definitely a strong team.
Did you listen to last week's podcast episode?
I did. I enjoyed it.
Was it as poking as I made it out to be?
It might have been, but it was
You're not
also
going to admit it, is that what you're saying? You're
no,
not going to
no,
acknowledge it?
no. It was cathartic. I didn't mind it. It was very therapeutic for me because I spent some time this week just looking at my team and wondering why am I not a better team? But so having a little bit of a pity party for myself last week on the podcast, and then getting slapped across the face by Scott with it,
It was
it was
beautiful. It was
helpful. Yeah,
beautiful. Well done, Scott.
it was a good thing.
One of the top episodes of the season. Ratings were soaring.
I don't even care about the ratings. I
That
enjoyed it a lot. It was
was
a
good.
lot.
Well, one of the things we did that was enjoyable on last week's episode was more of a rapid fire matchup discussion. Are we ready to dive into that, or do you have any other topic before we hit it?
Yeah, let's do it. So, so as we look at this week, the they're kind of Brian and Derek's games we find don't have a whole lot of playoff implications at this point, because they both sit at 1-7. They don't really have a chance of making the playoffs, unless they won six or five in a row and got very lucky, doing that. But they're still fielding a team. They're still on the schedule. So you're up against Brian this week. It is not a slam dunk for you.
I know.
So it does have playoff implications for you, because this is sort of a spot on your schedule where you have to win. Like you have to win this game to stay alive for the playoffs, right?
You're absolutely right.
So you got a good start tonight. You got 15 points from your tight end. A little bit over what he was expected to do, so that's a good thing. And you definitely have a winnable game, but it is not a slam dunk for sure. So you need to win so that you can get to 5-4, and kind of keep up with the cutoff line.
Yeah. I'm worried about Cam Newton's performance this week. I'm worried about Antonio Brown, obviously, coming off of a bye. He's a little bit more fresh. So, yeah, definitely not a slam dunk, and I need top performance across my entire team.
And then
Fortunately, I've got nothing but injuries and byes, with the exception of Anquan Boldin on my bench, so that IVA should be helped out this week. Glass is
yeah.
half full, baby.
This is a tough week for bye weeks. There's six teams on bye, and I think there were six teams on bye last week or the week before, but I feel like this one's worse. This one's filled with more fantasy relevant players. I'm finding out across my three leagues, I own too many Bears, which is probably a reason why I'm not having a whole lot of success this year, is because the Bears aren't good, and I own a lot of them apparently. Finding that out as I hit the bye weeks now. So I've got a lot of Alshon Jeffrey, Jordan Howard, and Cameron Meredith that are sitting on my bench, and it hurts. So,
Sure. Well,
but yeah, there's Patriots and Bengals and all kinds of teams on bye this week.
speaking of not a slam dunk, you're up against Ben this week, who's sitting at 6-2, and you have already had a great performance out of Jameis Winston tonight, who, although he lost by quite a bit, still put up 24.8 points for you this evening. And so, and you've got a better core. I mean, the bye weeks didn't hurt you as badly. You've got Blount on the bench, and I think that's the only thing that's mostly significant for you. Unfortunately, the same is kind of true with Ben's team.
Yeah, he's getting all his, basically all his good players have already had their bye. So Ben's gonna be a good team coming down the stretch. I don't really feel good about this one. It stinks because it's a must win for me. I can't go to 3-6. I need to win this one to get to 4-5. And I'm glad that Winston gave me what I needed from him tonight. But I don't feel great about this one. I think I'll keep it close. I'm not expecting a victory, and I need it to stay alive. It's my only shot, but I just don't have a lot of confidence in my team right now. But maybe Allen Robinson and Brandon Marshall will pull their heads out of their rears and start being good again, which would be awesome. In which case, if they can just do what they're supposed to do, and catch a few passes for 80 yards and a touchdown, I'll feel really good about this matchup. I just can't trust them right now because they haven't been there for me.
I just realized something that I don't think I've asked you on the air yet, which just shame on me, is do you like digs? Do you like digs?
Do. I like digs. No, I mean, yeah. So this is the conversation I had with myself this week. Looking at my team, I've got two running backs in the top 12, Gore and Blount. I've got three wide receivers I really like in A-Rob, Marshall, and Diggs. And I just why am I not a good team? I've been streaming defenses and kickers, but I'm like number three in scoring this year in both of those. So I've been doing a good job of streaming them, and It's just, I don't know. It's not coming together for me.
I'd be interested to compare running backs this year to last year if we were to look at the overall, because value is definitely seemed to be coming more towards the middle. And we had talked about adjusting to a half point PPR to try to figure that out, but it seems like the value has been on the receiving running back this year. And I would be interested to know if that's new or if that was similar last year. It just feels very significant this year.
Yeah, I think the scoring has swung back a little bit more towards the running backs. But I think a lot of this had to do with just injuries and so I think I say I have two top 12 running backs, but the thing is that they've been healthy all year and are top 12 running backs, and that's why they're top 12 running backs, but they're not the win the day for you kind of
Performance
player.
driven top 12. Yeah. They're
Yeah.
top 12 by incident.
They're consistent 14-point scorers, and not they're not gonna they're never gonna score 30 to kind of win a week for you, which those weekly
Gotcha.
winners are big. So anyway, I think Ben has one of those in Ezekiel Elliott this
Yep.
week. So staring down that barrel is not a comforting
Yep. So if you want to talk about the bye week blues, there has never been a more bye week blue team than is Michael Fitzsimmons this week. He has not three, not four, not five, not six, seven men on bye this week.
Not even mad. I'm impressed.
How do you even do that?
I think, he'll probably make some changes, but he'll still probably be able to field a decent
You
team.
think so?
Yeah, I mean, at least he's got two guys on his bench who are very playable.
Yeah. I mean, Scott would say that he's hurting with five guys on bye. I mean, one of those is the Patriots defense. He's got the Broncos in there, so that's not a big thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Of course, Scott.
Obviously David Johnson is the big one that's on his bench this week, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, this game between Scott and Michael is literally a war of attrition right now.
Clearly.
The all the holes in the lineup. But Scott's 5-3, Michael's 4-4. I don't think this is must-win territory for Michael, but with Scott having so many players on bye, this is a good chance you'll get to swing at the top team in your division. So it's definitely one Michael can go for. He'll probably make a bunch of moves on Saturday night. I think that's how he usually does it, and he'll try to plug some holes there. But waiver wire is pretty thin, so I'm not sure how much he'll be able to do. But definitely has a shot.
Yeah. So I think we have a choice in terms of game of the week to watch this week. So let's hop over to what I don't believe is the game of the week, and that is Derek Irwin versus Brock Waskow, 1-7 up against 7-1.
I mean,
The comment you
but
made earlier, what?
yeah, I was gonna say we don't even need to spend any time on this one,
Well,
right?
the comment you made earlier is that Derek is, I mean, he may be out of the league running, but he's not out of the W column this week, and that there's a small chance that he could come back and beat Brock. I mean, do you
Yeah,
want
no, definitely a small chance, but I mean, does it even matter if he does? The only thing that really matters here is if Brock loses, it opens up the door for the number one spot to someone else.
to? Mm-hmm.
In which case, you get a first round bye in the playoffs.
And that'd be interesting.
That would be interesting, but that's like the only thing that's at stake, and I'd say, fairly low probability of that happening right now. So, yeah, I mean, no offense to Derek, but
Sure.
I don't think this is
Yep.
gonna
Fair enough. All right.
make a big ripple.
All right. Well, let me ask you this then. Which matchup do you think is more significant in terms of the playoff picture? Brent Powell versus Crit Windsor or Randy Elwood and Jared Lorenz?
Man, between the ones we already talked about, Ben and I, Scott and Michael, and then these two, I mean, they're all really big games for the playoffs this week. I mean, it's the squish factor could be so huge this week that all of these teams will just come together and be within like one game of each other, or the opposite could happen and the playoffs are basically locked after this week, right? I mean, if all of the teams with better records win, then the teams with losing records are, just about done. So, but just because it looks like it's going to be the highest scoring game of the week, I have to go with Brent and Chris as the game of the week, just as
Fair enough.
they both got off to really strong starts this tonight with Chris getting 32 from Matt Ryan and like 16 from his kicker, and then Brent got 38 from Mike Evans. So there's just massive scores already, and these are both two teams that are running pretty hot right now. So yeah, this is one I want to watch for sure.
Yeah. They both got off to a huge start tonight, ironically, because we had basically the Atlanta offense going for each of them, in that Matt Ryan put up huge points tonight, 31.8 points with nearly 350 yards. But he threw a couple of touchdown passes in to Mike Evans. Mike Evans having a great game tonight himself, receiving for 150 yards across 11 catches. And
Well,
then,
they're on. I mean, but Matt Ryan's not throwing touchdown passes to Mike
oh,
Evans.
you know what? Sorry. Of course.
But
He's Tampa Bay.
there is a strong correlation between their performances because Matt Ryan is putting the Falcons
I'm going to
ahead.
edit out all my tired stupidity as it
No, no,
is. So,
no,
no,
no.
yeah.
Can't do it. We already
I'm
agreed.
going to.
Blood oath cannot happen.
I know who Mike Evans plays for.
Know you do. I know you. But you're at 5 in the morning, Seth Martin, right now,
That's right.
and not peak time. So
Five
that's fine.
5:40.
But
It's
your
five
point
forty.
still is valid because Ryan had a good night, or because Evans had a good night. They complemented each other because Tampa Bay had to keep throwing to really Mike Evans is the only wide receiver. They had to keep throwing it to try to keep up with Atlanta. So that's a big reason why he had a big night, is because Matt Ryan was putting up points on the other side. So
Not to mention Atlanta's kicker, Matt Bryant, benefited from all those attempts. So here's a, Seth at 6 a.m. question. Do you think that it's like in the clubhouse in Atlanta, Matt Ryan and Matt Bryant get a lot of like haha, like who's who comments? Like, hey, Matt Bryant, pass the ball, kicker.
probably just because of like they're both white guys named Matt.
Right. Well, I mean, even the last name phonetically.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Maybe I find that more amusing right now than I would, earlier in the evening.
Let me tell you something. I've never thought about it,
No, that's
but
that me neither. Me neither. That's why I'm saying I think we just got some insight into
yeah.
the Atlanta clubhouse. All
These
right.
are like the things you say when you've been smoking pot and you think you're like had this moment of clarity and brilliance, and then you realize later that it wasn't really that incredible. But usually people aren't around to record those things.
No,
But we're in luck tonight because,
well, let's be clear. I'm jet lagged. There's no substance in my system other than coffee. So, moving on to the next potential game of the week, I agree with you. I think that the high score alone and Brent's matchup will make that the game of the week. But we also have Jared and Andy going up against one another. Jared is 5-3. Andy is 3-5, and he is trying to turn his team around, whereas Jared is on a two-game winning streak, trying to keep that streak alive. And we have Andy getting bit pretty hard by bye weeks, although several of those players probably wouldn't be startable anyway. So what's your take on their matchup?
Andy's, I mean, a similar boat to Andy's in the same spot as me, where must win for him. He's definitely done a good job of turning his team around. He could very easily be in the 1-7 boat with Derek and Brian, but made some good trades, picked up a couple wins because of it. And now he's got a decent looking team, a team you don't really relish facing on your schedule. So this is a game that he could win. Definitely pulling for the squish factor here. Andy's got Aaron Rodgers, who's probably the top quarterback this week. But Jared's got Jordy Nelson on the other side, so that's always fun when your quarterback might be throwing to your opposition's wide receiver.
I hate that. I never like that.
Oh no, like I mean
that's the
fun.
worst. When I love it as a receiver, but I hate it when it's my quarterback. Ugh.
I meant fun in the like total anguish sort of
Oh,
way.
all right. Okay.
Like the masochist version of fun. But no, so this is another one to watch for sure. It looks like it's gonna be close. Not as high scoring as Chris and Brent. But I think good players on both sides here, and should be a good one.
Yeah, man. Well, I believe I don't know where I was going with that. What do you got for us? I'm out. I'm tapping out.
I don't have anything else for us. We're rock and roll. Next, tell you what, next week. Well, maybe not next week because my travel schedule might limit us. In 2 weeks, we will look at playoff odds for sure.
All right. Well, I've got two things that I'm looking forward to already for next season. I know it's a little premature. I'm not throwing in the towel. Don't get me wrong. This is not a wave the white flag and think about next season strategically. I'm just thinking about our league in general. And here's why. This last week, I met two guys from California. I met them in Paris, and we got to talking about fantasy football. And of course, I mentioned TNR in an effort to one up them. And that endeavor was successful. They were very, very impressive. But I do want to throw out a shout out because I hope one and if not both are listening, because I think we gained some new followership in that. But they encouraged me because of what they do with their league. They have a phenomenal draft weekend. They borrow a big O house where they hang out for the weekend for their big draft, and they spend a full 2 nights out there in that draft, which that was encouraging. But also, they have a velvet rope dividing a little stage inside one of the rooms. It's like an elevated, step up little room, and that's the winner's lounge. And only the winners of years past, they've been going about as long as we have in our league. Only winners of years past can go past the velvet rope and get the higher quality draft, the higher quality snacks. Those are all behind the velvet rope. And I
I
was
like.
like, I like that idea a lot. I like the idea of creating that tension at a draft, like, oh, I see. Okay. And it brings some pride into that. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to is our draft already. I'm just thinking about how much fun that is getting together, and maybe we can bring some new exciting elements into it.
Yeah, I
The
like that a lot. That's kind of like the relegation idea where you're just kind of creating the separation
Oh
between
yeah. Well,
the
it's
half.
if anything, it's just inspiration. It's well, it may be embittered inspiration, but inspiration nonetheless. The second thing I'm really looking forward to is the toilet bowl this year. I'm really excited about that because I think that was a good addition. It keeps everybody interested. And honestly, I think it was one of the things that tempers the fire sale a little bit because you still got a little bit of skin in the game through the end.
Well, yeah, and it clearly spurred Scott on to bigger and better things this year. He
Oh, absolutely.
won the toilet bowl and has come out firing. So yeah,
That's
I'm
right.
looking forward to the toilet bowl too, just because yeah, I'll definitely have a good shot at it this year. So can't wait for that.
Yeah. Well.
No one called me out on it, but I am constantly throwing myself at the fantasy gods and downplaying how poor my team is and what a bad spot I'm in, just hoping that I'll get some a little bit of help.
I have
And
noticed it. I have noticed it.
I don't want to say anything,
No.
but I feel like at this point it doesn't matter. They're not listening to me. The
I think
fantasy gods have turned. They gave me all the goodness that they could last year, and they saved nothing for me this year. This is Isaac blessing Jacob and having nothing left
Oh,
for Esau.
man.
Last year was Jacob, this year's Esau.
I think a really fun episode, just like a throwaway episode of TNR, maybe in the off season, would just to be go back and pull all of Peter's, all of his laments and just self-criticism and just string it all together. And you just listen to an hour long of Peter just deprecating himself on the air.
Know what would be even better if I won the championship and we did that. That would be really fun. Let's do that.
Well, If that's the case, then it paid off, and the reverse curse is real. So, power to you on that one. Well, good show, Pete. Thanks for the time and the laughs and the self-criticism. Looking forward to a great weekend ahead. It's good to be back, if only for the moment. But I'm sure you guys will keep me in the loop through a very active GroupMe, and at least this time I won't have to put it on Do Not Disturb because most of the chatter comes in at around 3 in the morning European time. So I'm looking forward to being a little bit more engaged this weekend. So, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Nope. Glad to have you back. Thank you for being a trooper and pushing through getting this one done.
Yes, sir. I mean, I've got to because it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night. I'm out. I'm completely out.
Oh, you got this. You got it, man.
Clap. Quack.
You know what to do right here. Focus. And you
Adrian!
got it.